talk about a tough spot for someone to speak. A crowd that, a group of guys that probably are a little tired and worn out. And but so I appreciate, it's amazing how many Bachram are here at this time. And thank you very much for being here. Rishus, Stark, and Rishiva and the Rebbeim. So it was so nice to spend some time here. Was it yesterday morning? I'm just don't know where I am. Yesterday morning, seeing such a island of such a Bnei Torah and the Chash of a Waterbury alumni, Steiging. I met some other alumni from this yeshiva in the Mir. Baruch Hashem, what a special Malkam Taira. So, maybe share a few different thoughts. I was davening Shemone Esrei. I had a thought that at the end of a tainus, at the end of a fast day, we're a little bit bitzar, a little bit in pain, a little bit tired, a little bit hungry. Maybe some of us, Nebuch, have a headache. So perhaps that's an opportunity. Perhaps that's an opportunity to makayim a nice ba'al im chaveray to think about other people at this last few minutes of the tainus, to think about people in Klal Yisrael that are bitzar. You know, don't tell, is this being recorded? Don't tell my wife this, but, you know, I had a sore throat, Baruch Hashem, I think it's getting better. But I had a sore throat already for like a week ago. And then I didn't say, although I'm a big fetch, but my wife told me like a day or two later she has a sore throat. You know, I'm the fetch, my wife is very tough, she's not a complainer, but she mentioned she has a sore throat. So the next day, I asked her, how her throat's feeling. You know, maybe the next day. And it was really easy for me to be able to ask her how her throat was feeling, because my throat was still hurting. And it was on my mind. My throat was on my mind. I don't know if you've ever had that experience that, you know, I once, one of my children, when they were little, got a chipped tooth. And the strangest thing happened is I was in shul and I was looking at a balabas, looking at somebody, and I noticed like he had a chipped tooth. Like I never noticed it before. You know, when a person has a tzar, it's a lot easier for him to relate to the tzar of someone else, even if it's a different tzar. You know, one of the things that we have to work on in our midos, and it's very important for marriage, you know, and I find being in Eretz Yisrael is a good exercise for that, is that when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I have to think about what time it is in America. I thought about maybe putting my clock, leaving my clock in American time, but I have to, you have to hold the little cup, you know. If I call my wife, 7 o'clock, I call my wife 7 o'clock in the morning over here, what would it be over there? 12. Okay, that would be too late. And I'd wake her up. But not only would I wake her up, I would also, I'd look like an idiot, but also, I would also be insulting her, really. Because I'd be telling her that I'm not aware of what's going on by her. I'm just totally unaware. You know, one of the things that I have to work on, and as a husband, as a Hashem, to work on, is being aware of what's going on by someone else. Thinking about what's going on in someone else's life, holding track of someone else's life with your friends and maybe other family members, you maybe get away with it, but you're with your wife, it's a little bit different. If your wife tells you she's not feeling well and then later in the day you don't ask her about it, you know, or she tells you she has an important meeting and then you don't ask her later how the meeting went, she has reason to be insulted. So you're not on her, on your mind. She's not on your mind. And it's a tremendous thing for us to work on is to have other people on our minds. If somebody tells us, somebody hurts himself, chas v'shalom, even if it's a small thing, you're playing ball, and the person hurts himself, and later that day or the next day, you say, how's your foot? It's a godless. Godless. You see, Sir and Bakram have it. For others, it would take work, but it's a godless. I remember yesterday he hurt himself. You may have to like make mental notes. It may be worthwhile to take a pen and write it down. And to ask the person how their foot's feeling, that the person's on your mind. I'm sure it's happened to you. Told somebody something was going on, important, and they completely forgot about it. You know, it's part of our avodah of godless Adam is to think about other people. So at this for a few moments, I think at the end of the Tainus, maybe by Marv, we should think for a few moments, Re'ev Anyenu, Veriva Rivenu, think for a few moments of those people that are Eftzar, people that we know, situations we know of. You know, this should be a special for Shalema, the person that was attacked in Muncie, Yosef in peril. But there's so many people in Nebuch that are going through hardship, so we have hardship now. We could think a little bit about their pain and their suffering, daven for them, and perhaps maybe that's part of the purpose of a tainus. Perhaps part of the purpose of a tainus for us is to feel some tsar, that we can relate to the tsar of Klal Yisrael, and we could daven a little stronger for geula for each person as an individual, and geula for Klal Yisrael as a whole. That's one idea I want to share with you. I usually like to stick to one thing, but tonight we're doing something different. I also want to speak about, it's an amazing lesson we learn of this week's, of the parshas we've been learning about. Yosef is sold to Mitzrayim, and Chazal tell us an incredible thing, that Yosef was punished. Very, very unbelievable Rashi, Yosef was punished. Because Yosef said Lashon Hara about his brothers, Yosef said that they're calling the Bnei HaShvachais Avadim, so he was sold as an Eved. And because he spoke Lashon Hara about them, to his father, Mida Keneged Mida, he was punished with those things, and he was sold down to Mitzrayim. So you could always speak about Lashon Hara, because we could always use Chizuk in this matter. And be careful what we say. The galus of Yosef, the galus to Mitzrayim, and of course maybe the Maisa of Esim Labanim, the galus of Klal Yisrael, the Churban of the second Beis Hamikdash is from Lashon Hara, all started with Lashon Hara. And perhaps the Geula began when Yosef sees the Sar Mashkim and Sar Aifim, and he says, Madua Panacha Zayf HaYisayim. Why are you looking so upset? Why are you looking so upset today? You know, so either somehow they managed to stay in a good mood in jail. Maybe Yosef perhaps just kept them going. You know, or they look worse than usual. And Yosef noticed their tsar. Yosef noticed their pain. And Yosef asked them, what's the matter? What's wrong? And that was the beginning, that ended up turning to be the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out of jail. And perhaps the tikkun of the Dibur Ra, of Lashon Hara, was fixed with the Dibur type, with a positive speech of giving chizuk, saying something nice to Sar Mashkim and the Sar Eifim. We need to be so careful how we use our mouths. Something interesting I think about Lashon Hara, which is worthwhile to think about, is that, you know, the Chafetz Chaim says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's a chil Hashem, because there's no pleasure. There's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. There's no pleasure in Lashon Hara. And the obvious question is, what does it mean there's no pleasure in Lashon Hara? We have a big taiva. We have a big taiva for Lashon Hara. So what does the Chafetz Chaim mean there's no pleasure, there's no anah in Lashon Hara? So perhaps the pshat is, that although it's not the pashup shot, but that there should be no pleasure in Lashon Hara. You know, the Rambam writes in Shemayin HaPrakim that there are different types of mitzvahs. There's some mitzvahs that you could want to violate. It's fine, it's good, but you control yourself. Famous Rashi by Treif. I want to eat the treif, but I'm not going to because Hashem said no. It's not necessarily my drega that a person says, I don't even have a desire for it. You know, but a person, I would want it, but Hashem said no. But the Rambam says that by things, by sichlius, I believe is lashon, but when it comes to things of nidos, of character, there it's wrong for just wanting it. There you're already called a rasha for wanting. If someone wants to hurt people, he wants to kill people, even if he controls himself, there's something really wrong that a person wants to harm. If we are where we're supposed to be, in our ben adam l'chaveiro, in our midos, then we do not enjoy lashon hara. We do not enjoy putting someone else down. What's the enjoyment? What's the satisfaction of putting someone else down? It makes us feel makes us feel a little better that someone else has their problems, their shortcomings. Makes me feel a little better about my shortcomings, even if they're different shortcomings. If a person's mamish, completely satisfied, completely happy, he's happy with his life, he's happy with himself, so a person doesn't enjoy saying Lashon Hara. The avod is not to control ourselves from speaking Lashon Hara. The avod is to work on it that we don't like saying Lashon Hara. And the avod is when we hear someone else being put someone else down, it bothers us. Imagine someone put down your family member, your parents, your sibling, someone speaking negatively about them. You don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy the other person being put down. Lashon Hara Avaida is, we don't enjoy it. We don't get geschmack from it. Until, while we still get a geschmack from it, we have to control ourselves. But we work on ourselves that we don't want it. And it's been bothering me. Why is Mashiach not here? I'm just blown away. Baruch Hashem, I'm getting a lot of chizik the last week. I was by the Sima Shas in MetLife Stadium, and coming to Eretz Yisrael, seeing the Mount of Learning. I was just by the Mir. I went for Mincha at 4 o'clock. I figured, okay, I'm going to have like a lot of time to, you know, probably be able to do some errands in between coming here. I had to leave early to come here, you know. It was like almost like Yom Kippur in America. It was unbelievable. The amount of learning and Torah in the world is just mind-boggling. It shows us the beauty and the power of Torah. But I guess apparently we still have to work on our Lashon. We still have to work on our Lashon Hara. If we still don't have Mashiach, to be very, very careful. Very careful how we speak. Someone asked me this morning. He said, how does he leaves the Beis Medrash, but then he goes to the dorm and maybe sometimes, you know, the speech is not always so good, or whatever it may be. So he said, how do you get the Torah to change you? How do you implement it? So I told him maybe think about, you know, when he leaves the Beis Medrash, the first 5 minutes, that's a long time, first 2-3 minutes, he should try to like be aware of what he's saying, of what he's doing. Just the first 2-3 minutes after he leaves the Beis Medrash should take it with him. So that's one thing that we could work on in our speech, in the way we see other people. Lashon Hara comes also from a negative ayin ra, a negative look on other people, to see the good in other people and not try hard, not to put other people down. And one other area of positive dibor, of positive speech, that it's been on my mind a lot lately, but I unfortunately have not got it down myself, so I'm not going to fool you. But I think a great way for us to grow in our connection to Hashem is by working on our brachos, on our blessings. It always bothered me, the the bracha of Shakol Nieved Varo. The bracha, it bothered me for a while. What kind of bracha is that? You make a bracha, ha'itz, ha'motzi lachem ha'aretz, ha'gefen, all specific brachas. And all of a sudden, when you get to some of my favorite food, like candy, or meat, chicken, get to so many foods, and all of a sudden, just like, shakol nieved varo. And you don't even mention food. It's not even like, thank Hashem for food. Shakol nieved varo. Everything exists by His word. So why is it that way? If anyone's seen anyone discuss it, please let me know. But I was thinking, recently came to me, that the purpose of brachos is to thank Hashem. See, we look at brachos, you know, because the Gemara says in brachos that a person's not allowed to eat without making a bracha. It's stealing. So it's kind of like we make a bracha to, like, you know, our heter. So, you know, we brachos Hashem Shkolim Yavar. Okay, now I could eat it. You know, I remember one time I had a geshmak, a supper, and I'm like, thank you, Hashem. And then I realized, whew, dope. That's what I'm supposed to be doing when I say the bracha achrona. But it becomes a habit, and we don't really think about what we're doing, that we're thanking Hashem. And the way for a person to bring Hashem into his life and bring Hashem into everything and to have gratitude to Hashem is really through brachas, right? By making brachas, we connect our Kodesh Baruch with gratitude to Hashem. So perhaps Chazal did us a favor. There's so many things to thank Hashem for. Yes, in the morning, we make Berachas HaShachar. And we specify different things we thank our Kodesh Baruch for. But throughout the day, we don't have that same opportunity. Throughout the day, we don't have the same opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could say thank you anytime, but not in the form of a bracha. So perhaps we could suggest that Chazal gave us that opportunity with the shakol, Niyavara. You want to thank Hashem for everything. So you take a drink all the time, take a candy, whatever it is, a lot of options. You take it and you say Shakol Nieved Varo, and perhaps we suggest that the bracha was meant to have in mind not only for this food that you're getting, but Shakol Nieved Varo, to thank Hashem for everything that we have. You can think about something that day. If we would make our brachos, talking to myself, I'll get there. If we would make our brachos out loud. If we make a brachas out loud, I think it would make a tremendous, tremendous difference. You know, you make the bracha out loud, you pay more attention to what you're saying. You make a bracha out loud, a side benefit is you give the opportunity for others to say Amen, which is many great stories about the power of an Amen. So, if anyone wants to consider, or somehow, you know, I don't know why it hasn't taken hold in Klal Yisrael. Right? Imagine if that just would be the standard. The standard thing is you make a bracha out loud. You know? So like you say Shema, you say it out loud. Like the standard thing is you make a bracha out loud. It would just be great if that became the new reality. That we just make a bracha out loud. And the brachas will be different. Okay? It won't be as kavana because you'll be in a habit of saying it out loud. But still, when someone else is listening to you, it's always a little better when someone else is listening to you. If you ever motzi someone the brachas in the morning, it's a better bracha. If you make it out loud, good things will happen. So that's just an idea. So and be mechazik our dibor to speak positively. I'm sorry. To speak positively about others, to really try hard not to speak negatively. Takes guts if someone's telling you something. It takes a lot of guts when someone's telling you something not nice and you tell them, maybe we shouldn't talk about that. Say it in a nice way. Maybe it's not the right thing. It takes a tremendous amount of guts. We don't like to be the from guy. And we're uncomfortable. We're making the guy feel bad. And we should be uncomfortable making the guy feel bad. But think about the guy that he's speaking about. You know, one time, you know, happens in yeshivas, you know, with younger kids, if something gets stuck in the machine, so younger Bachram will tend to, you have ever seen that, pick up the machine, shake it a little bit to get it out, you know. So, you know, so I felt responsible to go over to stop him, because, yeah, I don't want to make him feel bad, but what I'm thinking about the owner of the machine. Yeah, he's the victim, you know. When someone's saying Lashon Hara, the guy he's speaking about is the victim. The one speaking is the attacker. He doesn't mean bad. You should be nice to him. But you have to protect. You have to protect your brothers who he's speaking about. And he'll know. You know, I always say that a Rebbe who gets upset. A Rebbe gets upset at a Bachar for being not nice to another Bachar. It's a great thing, not only for the Bachar he's protecting right now, it's good for the Bachar he's telling right now, he's criticizing him. He says, don't talk about the other Bachar that way, because if the Rebbe treats all his Bachar with respect, so the Bachar knows that the Rebbe would do the same thing for me. And if someone would speak about me, someone would do something against me, he would protect me too. So someone's saying Lashon Hara, you say, look, I don't think we should talk about it. And he knows that if someone else would be saying something about him, you wouldn't tolerate it either. So we should be zaycha to strengthen our koyach adibar, and that, of course, as the Chafetz Chaim tells us, the stronger our adibar is, the stronger that our power of our Torah will have. And Bez Hashem, we should soon be zaycha to the geula.